Eric Metaxas here. Please join me in a life-saving mission to set Sudanese slaves free through Christian Solidarity International. Since 1995, CSI has freed more than 100,000 women and children from years of bondage and abuse. Your $250 gift frees, feeds, and heals these captives and sets them on a path to a new life in freedom. Please help us free another slave now. Call 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, or click the CSI banner at MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com.
Hey, folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss, like, playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. It's the show that helps you make sense of things that would otherwise baffle you. Like, for example, why does that one shoe hide in the back of the closet like that? Is it afraid of you, or does it just need some alone time? Or maybe it's ashamed of something. Something terrible that only a shoe would be ashamed of. The answers to these and other questions right here, right now on the Eric Metaxas Show. And now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there. Thanks, Todd. You're a swell kid. Hey, folks, if you've listened to this program over the years, we started, I guess it was back in the late 50s now. It's been a long run. And I've done a lot of shows of this nature where it tell the story of somebody who was in the gay lifestyle and who left it. You don't normally hear these kinds of stories on mainstream TV. For example, Jimmy Fallon will never have a story like this on, for example. And I'm always fascinated with these stories. I'm sitting here with the author of a new book, A Change of Affection, A Gay Man's Incredible Story of Redemption, Beckett Cook. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
And now my first question, and don't be put off by this, what the heck kind of a name is Beckett Cook? Is that a stage name? Be honest.
It kind of is. I mean, no, it's. I was named after Thomas Becket, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury.
And you mentioned that earlier. It's the only reason why I'm having the guts to ask this. Who names their kid after the martyred Archbishop of Canterbury?
My mother does. And my parents were devout Catholics, and my mother, I think the Peter O'Toole, Richard Burton movie version of the play came out in like the 60s. Yeah. And I think that kind of stuck in my mother's head. And
Then all Peter O'Toole movies came out in the 60s.
She named me Beckett. I don't know
why.
She
named you Beckett. Now,
crazy?
Do you avoid cathedrals?
I do. I do it's, at it's, all costs.
Like, right. Yeah. You just, I would. If I was named Beckett, like, I think I'm going to be over here in the snack bar.
Yeah.
You guys check out the cathedral. I'll be right here, you know, checking my emails. Okay. Yeah. This is a big deal. Whenever anybody tells a story like this, principally for what I mentioned earlier, that people act in this culture as though these stories don't exist. You don't exist. You're bad news. We don't want to hear your story. You're weird.
Yeah.
But I want to hear your story extremely much, and I'm sure my audience does. And so where do we start? Should we start at the beginning, or do we start in the middle?
Because let's start there's a lot. In the beginning, maybe.
We don't have to start in the beginning, but we can. Well, you said your parents are Catholic. Where were you raised?
Dallas, Texas.
Dallas.
In a large Catholic. I'm the youngest of eight kids. And at a very young age, I started to sense this attraction to the same sex.
What age do you think?
It's hard to say. Probably 8, 9.
Okay.
Maybe younger. I'm not sure. But I started to really kind of sense that. And in that world, in Dallas and in Catholic school, I mean, obviously it was foreboden. So I had this sort of double life, and kind of externally I was a normal kid, but internally I was wrestling with this kind of feeling inside and didn't know what to do with it. And I never thought of it as like a permanent condition. I just thought, oh, this will eventually pass and, you know, my life will be whatever, normal. But as I grew older and into high school, and I my best friend in high school was gay. We came out to each other. And that was a big deal. We started going to gay bars in Dallas. And
in high school?
In high school.
Yeah.
I was very precocious. And then in college, the same. I befriended a guy who was gay. We came out to each other in college. It was a whole thing. And then, so it wasn't really at that time my identity yet. It was, still was kind of like this thing of, I don't know what this is, but I'm definitely attracted to guys. And it wasn't until after college I moved to Tokyo for a year, and my roommate's best friend from Dallas came to visit us in Tokyo, and he and we fell in love. This guy from Dallas.
Now, I don't know how old you are. So are we talking a few years ago? I don't remember your story.
Yeah, this was like in the 90s.
In the 90s. I've heard of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we fell in love, and that was when the identity of homosexuality became cemented, and I came out to my family, my parents.
Now, what was that like for your parents? Because you said they were devout, obviously naming their kid Beckett. Sounds like they are devout. Having eight kids, I mean, you know when you're dealing with people who take it seriously, and you know when you're dealing with cultural or cafeteria Catholics, so-called. That must have been tough for your parents.
It actually wasn't tough, strangely enough. My brother became an evangelical Christian. He was like the Martin Luther in my family, and kind of led this like this reformation in my family. And that was much more difficult for my parents than me coming out as gay to them.
Wow.
So when I came out to my parents as gay, they're
like, oh, thank God he's not Protestant.
Exactly.
And that is very funny.
I know. And they actually, it didn't take it badly, because I was the youngest of eight kids. And so by the time they got to me and I told them, or they found out, actually, they were just kind of like, they were really lovely about it, actually. They were sweet.
Sounds like it.
And yeah. My dad was just great about it. And my mother cried, of course. And I told, at the time, I was like, guys, it's fine. Like, it's okay. It's normal. Don't worry about me. Like, it's great. And, but yeah, they were pretty great about it.
Well, now when you say that, because I want to understand this, because there's such misunderstanding on this. It's another reason why I'm so happy to have you on. People think that they don't seem to understand that there are two issues, right? If you are a Christian and you have a biblical view of the world, you believe that all sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman is not God's plan.
Right.
So that's much more radical than saying, I just believe that two men having sex is wrong. I believe that in a funny way, God's whole idea of sex can only really exist within marriage between a man and a woman. And everything beyond that is something else, right? So in a funny way, it's more radical. And at the same time, as a Christian, most Christians I know say that even though I don't approve of that or that or that or that, or I did it myself and I've changed and I don't approve of my past behavior, they can nonetheless love people deeply with whom they have this disagreement, right?
Right.
I mean, just as
right.
I have relatives who believe in sex outside of marriage or who live together before marriage or whatever, I don't say, well, I can't talk to you or I can't. It's not like they murdered five children. And I guess when you talk about your parents being okay with it, were they okay with it in the sense that they loved you in spite of it?
Yes.
Or was there – so their theology was not – had not drifted to the point where they say, we don't care.
No. I mean, it was upsetting to them, but they didn't kind of have this horrible reaction to it. And so I think – with my parents, again, because I was the youngest of so many kids, and I think that they just were of the mindset of, we're just going to pray for him and just leave it up to God. They were really kind of just mellow about everything.
It sounds like they were wise.
They were wise. They were wise.
Yeah. Because you hear these horrible stories of serious Christians kind of shutting their kids out or treating them like, lepers. And I thought to myself, whenever you hear that, you think, wow, they don't understand how important it is to love somebody in spite of your disagreements. Because as a parent, I think most parents are going to have some disagreements with their kids. And
And if you don't love them, you can let them know how you feel. But it's very rare that you hear a story like that. So it's really heartening. It's encouraging to hear that your parents took it this way.
Well, and one of the things is as a child, as a gay child, you have years and years to sort of wrestle with it internally. And by the time you actually come out to your parents, you're ready. You expect them to be completely on board with you, which is unfair to them. Because parents need time to kind of grieve and go through that process of mourning or whatever Christian parents do, and or any parent maybe. But so I think on both sides of the issue, the equation, the parents and the child need to give each other grace and time and kind of.
Well, yeah, no, it is. I can only imagine it would be traumatic. But what a beautiful thing that your parents were able to express their Christian faith in love at that time when clearly it was needed. And also, you know what I think too? I think that when people really have serious faith, they believe in the power of prayer, they don't freak out.
Exactly.
Because they actually believe, you know what? God can do miracles. We're going to pray. And it seems like they prayed and God did a miracle.
Yeah.
We're going to be right back. We're talking to Beckett Cook. I believe it's his real name. The book is A Change of Affection. Stick around.
Hi, this is Dennis Prager, and we just launched a new Pragertopia membership called Pragertopia Unlimited. Members can listen to any and all audio programs that are in the Dennis Prager store. That's over 400 programs to choose from. Show segments, talks, lectures, courses, even full access to all 5 books of my Torah teaching. For a limited time, an annual Pragertopia Unlimited membership is only $119. Join Pragertopia Unlimited today. Go to Pragertopia.com.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to get your house ready for the winter so you can sit back and enjoy the holidays. Home Advisor can help get you started. Home Advisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. Home Advisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. So why wait? Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started on your next project. Home
Advisor. Guys, waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking 3 prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free. Call 1-800-424-8908. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-424-8908. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. 1-800-424-8908. 1-800-424-8908.
If credit card debt has you down, nonprofit Trinity Debt Management can help.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees, and drastically reduce your interest. You'll pay thousands less than you originally owed.
It's not a loan. It's a way to become debt-free and possibly improve your credit score.
So call Trinity and talk to a certified counselor. They'll explain their proven program to you with no pressure, just practical solutions and hope for tomorrow.
Are you ready to pay off your credit cards in less time for less money? Then call for a free no-obligation debt analysis and become debt-free for keeps.
If your debt has you down, we should talk. Gather up your bills and call this toll-free number for a free, no-obligation debt analysis.
Call 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
Men, if you want to have less bathroom problems, listen to this. A new Nobel Prize discovery was just proven in a clinical trial to help men urinate 241% more, ending multiple trips to the bathroom and a constant urge to go. This breakthrough is finally available in a pill called Prostavive LS, developed by famed men's health expert Dr. Al Sears. And for a limited time, you can get a free bottle. Call 800-338-3683. Patients who've taken Prostavive LS are singing its praises.
Hi, my name is Paul, and I'm 73 years old. I used to get up multiple times a night to go to the bathroom, but after taking Prostavive LS, I now sleep through the night.
Prostavive LS does not require a prescription, and there are no side effects. But this free bottle is not available in stores. Call 800-338-3683 now to get your free bottle of this Nobel Prize winning discovery proven in clinical trials to help men urinate 241% more. That's 800-338-3683. Just pay shipping and handling.
It's a really good problem when your bumper music is so good that you just want to keep listening to it and you don't care what your guest thinks. But in this case, I care about what my guest thinks. Beckett Cook is my guest. He's written a book called A Change of Affection, A Gay Man's Incredible Story of Redemption. You're not using the word incredible simply sloppily as a modifier. Incredible in the sense of unbelievable. It is almost unbelievable. There are many people listening right now who do not believe your story is possible. They think you're a liar or deluded.
Well, I'm still in shock. I mean, I literally wake up every morning and I'm like, I know the king of the universe. How does that happen?
How did that work?
How did that happen? So I'll tell you how it worked.
Okay.
I moved to LA and...
By the way, where'd you go to college?
In Texas. I went to a small liberal arts college in Texas.
Okay.
And then I moved to Tokyo, and then I moved to LA.
Okay. And what was your profession? What did you want to do with yourself?
Well, I was pre-med in college, which is a whole other thing. And then I applied to law school, got in law school. My dad was a lawyer.
Holy
2 weeks
cow.
Before law school, I was enrolled. And 2 weeks before it started, I told my dad, by the way, I'm moving to LA to pursue writing and stuff.
Writing and stuff. What did you want to do in LA?
Well, I wanted to like write screenplays, and I did a couple things.
It's overrated.
It is way overrated. Yeah. And I did, you know, some little acting things here
you
and there.
You did?
Well, you know, you
were
know,
you in, right, were you in any movies that we know about? 12 Angry Men,
Down
with the Wind.
No. No, I just did like a couple indie films, and I did a ton of commercials.
You did?
Which is crazy.
So you really were doing that?
I was
stuff.
Doing that stuff.
Pre-med.
But yeah, so I kind of. Because when you grow up in Dallas, Texas, the three options are doctor, lawyer, business person.
Right.
So that I didn't know like you could actually pursue something that was creative and interesting and fun. So I moved to Hollywood, and I got into this crowd of friends who all went to Brown and Princeton, and they were my high school friends, but they all went to the East Coast.
Right.
And then we kind of had this whole fun set of friends.
Yeah.
And they were all wildly smart and funny. And
are you sure we're talking about Brown University? I'm not buying it.
I know it's not.
Ha ha ha. Listen, but when you say that, but obviously they weren't all gay. So this was
just a group of friends,
and it was mixed.
Tatiana von Furstenberg. I mean, these people.
The Furstenbergs. Really?
I shouldn't mention that.
Go ahead.
But so, you know, so I was in this group of friends, and we kind of had this fun life, and there were two goals in our life. So everyone had the same goals. To make a mark on this world and do something really fabulous.
Right.
And to find true love. And that's all we did all the time. And we went to parties, we went to premieres, we went to Golden Globes, Oscars, Emmys, like Vanity Fair parties. And I went to fashion weeks in New York and Paris all the time. And I had kind of a really fun life in LA, and met everyone, went to every dinner
party. Everyone? Mickey Rooney?
Not Mickey Rooney.
Ha! I met Mickey Rooney.
I met him right here in New York City.
Yeah.
I had cocktails at Arianna Huffington's house. You know, those kind of things.
Arianna Huffington.
And I know her.
I can imitate Arianna Huffington.
She sounds like Zsa Zsa Gabor.
But I'm not going to. Well, no, because she's Greek. And I can. I don't know anybody who can imitate Greeks. I can do that. But it's kind of like people don't know what Greek. Anyway. Were you at Arianna Huffington? Now, her ex-husband became gay during their marriage.
In the 80s.
Not that late.
Maybe.
It was the 90s.
Yeah. I actually saw him at a GLAAD Media Awards thing. I was there too at this thing years ago.
Yeah.
That was a fun thing for her. But I went to dinners at everywhere. At everyone's house, you know.
Now, what were you doing for a living during that time?
So then, the acting and the writing were kind of difficult, and I sold a couple things to various networks, but it wasn't really taking off. So I fell into set design. I almost said sex design, which is weird.
Production design. Production design is pretty cool stuff.
In the fashion world. So I would do shoots for the cover of Vogue and Harper's Bazaar, but also like Gap campaigns.
You're really talented.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Because in the time we spent together, I just realized this guy's a big nobody. You are obviously very multi-talented.
Nobody
falls into, you know, I'm designing stuff for Vogue. And that's extraordinary. And it sounds like socially you were in some real high cotton as well. I don't know how you get there as a failed screenwriter. But.
Right. Okay. And so, and then at a certain point, I guess maybe 10 years into this life, or 10 to 12 years into this, the law of diminishing returns kind of started to set in. Mm. And I started to feel kind of, is that all there is to a fire? And so I was actually in Paris at Fashion Week in March of 2009, and I was at Stella McCartney's after party from her show.
Who wasn't? Am I right?
Right? Who exactly? I mean, everyone was there.
You were at Stella McCartney's after party. That's most people would think that's pretty impressive stuff there.
Well, it wasn't, because I was there that night, and everyone from the fashion world was there drinking champagne, dancing, and I was sitting with Rachel Zoe and her husband, Roger. She had a fashion show on Bravo. But I was sitting with them, and I remember just looking out over the crowd of people with my glass of champagne, and I was like, this isn't it.
Wow. It's interesting to hear you say this, because most people think that would be it. I mean, the thought of being at these parties, Vanity Fair parties in L.A., to be at a at an after party at Stella McCartney's, like that is what people think. Oh boy, if I could be there. So you're telling me you were there, and while you were there,
I just felt utterly empty, and I was in this panic, and I just ghosted the party. I didn't tell anyone I was leaving. I just left, went back to my.
Is that a verb now?
It is now.
Never heard of that. I'm gonna have to use that.
The kids use it.
That's what the kids are using.
But I went back to my apartment. I rented an apartment in Paris that week, and I went back, and I was just up all night till like 5 a.m. in a panic of like, what am I gonna do for the rest of my life? All of this kind of fun stuff has sustained me so far. And by the way, over the years, I mean, every time I came to New York or went to London, I would go to serious plays. Tom Stoppard, Harold Pinter, Tony Kushner, like all these. Because I was searching for truth. And I thought, well, these guys, they're so smart. They've got to know something that I don't know. And so I would go to these plays and Eugene O'Neill. And I would always... It would come so close to truth, but then it would just vanish.
It's kind of funny you say that, because that's exactly how I view them. I see Woody Allen in the same way, that it's magnificent how well they can discern and articulate the fallenness of man without really seeing it as fallenness, because they think that's all there is. But it's almost like they're right there. The despair is so clear, but they don't know where to go.
Yeah. And that's, I was always frustrated by that when I left the theater. And after that party in Paris, I came back to LA, kind of got busy with work again and sort of forgot about that. But I knew – that I was gay and that Christianity, I couldn't be a part of that club.
Right.
I always knew that. And yeah. so God at that point in my life was not even, he wasn't, at that point I was practically an atheist. I just thought, you know what, this is all a myth. It can't be real. And so I was so completely, God wasn't even on my radar. Cut to 6 months later in LA, I'm at this coffee shop in Silver Lake, which is kind of, you know, the trendy kind of hipster area of LA. And I'm with my best friend, who's a movie producer. And that's where we would kind of go on Saturdays. And we notice this table next to us and with kind of young people, and they have Bibles on their table. I had never seen a Bible in LA in my adult life. So we were fascinated. And my friend was an atheist too, gay as well. And we ended up in this conversation with this group of my friend liked to kind of engage and stir the pot a little bit. So we ended up talking to these people, and it literally, I turned around and I said, "Are you guys Christians?" And they were like, "Yeah." And I said, "You know, this is like a Christian's like fantasy come true." I'm like, what do you believe? Like, I grew up Catholic. I don't really know I don't remember anything. What do you believe?" And they told me the gospel. They told me what they believed. And we had this really great conversation for like an hour. And then it got to the $64,000 question. And I said, so, because they said they went to church in Hollywood at this church, Reality LA. And I said, well, what does your church believe about homosexuality? And one of the guys was like, well, we believe it's a sin. And it was weird because
in show business, we call this a cliffhanger. We're going to be right back. This is a great place to pause. Beckett Cook is my guest. The book is The Change of Affection. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Again, just hanging around.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. An aide to Vice President Mike Pence was on Capitol Hill to speak with impeachment investigators today. Jennifer Williams was subpoenaed to appear. Former National Security Advisor John Bolton did not show up for an interview with impeachment investigators. An attorney for Bolton said his client had not received a subpoena. China's Commerce Ministry says Washington and Beijing have agreed to gradually cancel tariff hikes as their trade negotiations progress. In consumer news, T-Mobile promising a new $15 wireless plan if its $26.5 billion Sprint deal goes through, but it comes with just 2 gigabits of data per month. Attorneys general in 15 states and the District of Columbia aim to stop that merger. They say it will raise prices for consumers. A trial starts in December. This is SRN News.
The annual enrollment for Medicare is coming soon, so we're here at Health Markets, a free service to help make sure you have the right Medicare plan. Mike, there's a lot going on here.
There sure is. Health Markets has invented the Fit Score to instantly compare thousands of Medicare plans from national insurance companies. In minutes, folks can find out if their current plan is the right fit or if there's another plan that can provide extra coverage and help save money. Best of all, the service is free.
So what Medicare benefits could people be missing out on?
A lot. Plans with $0 copays, $0 deductibles, and $0 premiums. Plans that include dental and vision coverage, or diabetic supplies, hearing aids, and more at no additional cost. With so many choices, our advice is don't go it alone when there's a free, unbiased service that can help.
Go to healthmarkets.com or call 800-716-7780. That's 800-716-7780. 800-716-7780.
Hey, folks, Eric Metaxas here. You have all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to you, my listeners. You can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. You know I use it. I rave about it. You can get deep discounts on MyPillow's mattress toppers. I love that. Bed sheets, so much more. For example, they're bringing back the buy one, get one free offer for the MyPillows. That's right. Buy one MyPillow, get another one absolutely free. Now, remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the new Radio Listener Special, so you can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free offer for the MyPillows. You've got to enter the promo code ERIC or Metaxas. That's the key. ERIC or Metaxas, 800-978-3057, 800-978-3057.
If you change your mind, take a chance. I'm the first in line. Honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. If you need me, let me know. Gonna be around. If you got no place to go when you're feeling down. If you're all alone.
Hit it, folks. Talking to Beckett Cook, the book is A Change of Affection. Beckett, I want you to know that we don't only play ABBA when we have gays or ex-gays on the program. I want you to know that. Okay?
I appreciate that.
Okay, please.
But I'm glad you took a chance on me.
Don't be offended.
Yeah.
You were just at such an amazing point in this story, so let's go right back.
So, yeah. So these – they. I asked the question, what does your church believe about homosexuality? They said it's this – you know, we believe it's a sin.
And these kids are college kids or
– Yeah, or – yeah, just out of college.
20s, yeah.
And they – what's weird about that moment is – like a year before or 5 years before, I would have kind of like thrown my coffee on them. But I just kind of was like, And I kind of appreciated the frankness and their just kind of honesty about it instead of beating around the bush and dodging the question. So they just were like, yeah, we believe this. And so they invited me to come to their church the following Sunday. And
Who's the pastor of the church?
It was Tim Chaddick at the time. Mm-hmm. He's now at Reality London. So we have a different pastor now. But So I had a whole week to kind of ponder this idea of going to – I had never been to an evangelical church in my life. So I didn't even know what it was. I had no idea. So the following Sunday, I wake up and I'm like, what am I going to do? And I get dressed, get in my car, and I drive to Hollywood to this auditorium where the church is held, the service is held.
I mean, that's really brave and kind of amazing of you to have done that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was God kind of.
Well, I'm sure
sort of
it was.
Me.
Nonetheless, you know, God
but,
cannot force us to do what we don't want to do.
But it was weird. It almost felt like that though. It's like I was in my car and I'm like, I guess I'm going. So I go to this church. I go to this auditorium. It's at a public high school in L.A. I shouldn't say that, but they'll get in trouble.
I know they've moved.
They moved.
Yeah. No, I know for a fact they have moved.
Okay, good.
And they're now they're now down south of the border.
In Tijuana.
They're in Realidad, Tijuana.
Tijuana, yes.
Yeah, Realidad. Go ahead.
So I walk into this auditorium, and I'm used to kind of like stained glass windows and smoke and bells and whistles from like the Catholic
and
church.
And cassocks and vestments and albs.
And so I walk in, and it's this just plain auditorium, very spare, and it was kind of refreshing to me. I'm like, oh, this is kind of nice. And then I heard the Christian worship band was playing. So I walk in, I hear the Christian music, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I forgot about Christian music. Like, ugh. And then I was like, wait a minute, it's not bad. And so I just found a seat. I didn't meet anyone there. I just went by myself, found a seat near the front. The pastor comes out, Tim Chaddick, young. Tim Chaddick was, I think at the time, he was like 30 or younger maybe. And he's preaching through Romans, and he's on Romans chapter 7. And his sermons are an hour long, and he's preaching the gospel for an hour. And I'm literally, everything he's saying, every sentence, every word he's saying is resonating as truth in my heart and in my mind, and I don't know why. And I'm like, what is going on? And I'm literally on the edge of my seat. And I don't want him to leave the stage. I want him to continue preaching. And he finally, you know, leaves. And he says, there's people on the sides of the church. If you want prayer for anything, blah, blah, blah. And the prayer ministry. And then the worship music comes on for another 30 minutes. So there was this moment I'm like, should I go over there and ask for prayer? If I do, it's humiliating, and like people are probably watching me that invited me here. And I was like, whatever, I'm just going to go. I'm here. So I walk over to the side. I go up to this guy, and I'm like, hey, I'm here. I don't know what I believe, but I'm here. And he said, let me pray for you. And he prayed for me, and it was so lovely, and it seemed really intense and very long. And he prayed for me, and I was like, how does this straight dude love me so much? And it just felt very loving. And then he finished his prayer. I went back to my seat. I'm sitting in my seat. The worship music is playing for another 25 minutes. So I'm sitting in my seat, processing the sermon, the prayer, the music, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit's like, like God revealed himself to me in that moment. And I was like, whoa.
Now, what do you mean? Because I'm sure there are many people listening saying, what does that mean, the Holy Spirit? You mean you felt the palpable presence of God suddenly?
Yes. Okay. And it was like in my mind's eye. It was like I could see. It was almost like the curtains had finally parted and I could see the truth, reality for the first time in my life. And I was like, oh, my gosh. It was like Isaiah in the temple when he sees the holiness of God and comes undone. I came undone. I started absolutely bawling and couldn't, uncontrollably for the next 25 minutes, couldn't stop crying. And God in that moment was like, I'm God. Jesus is my son. Heaven's real. Hell's real. The Bible's true. You're now adopted into my kingdom. Welcome. What? And I was just like, whoa. And I was crying. I was crying not only because I just met the King of the universe, Jesus Christ, but I was also crying over my sin, over the sorrow of my sin at the same time. It was this crazy mix.
It's interesting. You hear people, or at least I have heard people many times describe things like this, and there are a number of striking parallels between the accounts. I've heard people say that I felt the incredible love of God at the same time that I suddenly could feel forgiveness for my sin. I could feel the sin leaving my body. I felt repentance for my sin. It's not the sort of thing that you can drum up. It just sort of happens, and it's hard to articulate. But it's so fascinating to me, and it argues for the reality of this. Because,
yeah.
Okay, we're going to go to another break, and we'll be right back talking to Beckett Cook, Beckett with one T. The book is A Change of Affection, also one T. Hey, folks, Eric Metaxas here. There's something you all need to know about Relief Factor and about Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son owners. As you know, they're on a real mission to help as many people as possible get out of pain, and they've been a consistent sponsor of the show for several years. In radio, sponsors come and go. They may even stay for a year or so. It sounds like they're doing super, and then they're gone. Well, not so with Relief Factor. Pete and Seth are consistent year after year, and that's because tens of thousands of people are now taking Relief Factor every day for their back and neck pain. I'm one of them. Shoulder pain, knee pain, hip pain. And they are now in less or no pain at all. All these people, it's as simple as that. It works. That's why I've joined Pete and Seth on their mission to help you get out of pain today. And the first step is to order the 3-week quick start pack for $19.95. If you're still skeptical, remember, it's not just me. There are tens of thousands of other nice people who would happily tell you to give it a try. It can be done. It could be at your door in just 2 to 3 days. Go to relieffactor.com. Remember, relieffactor.com. It works. It works.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Most people in today's economy are taking a roller coaster ride with their investments. With Vantage Point Software, you can remove that dynamic from your investment strategy once and for all. Vantage Point has spent the last 3 decades perfecting an artificial intelligence process that you can put to use today to take advantage of market fluctuations and make money no matter which way the market moves. Vantage Point Software analyzes massive quantities of data all around the world in seconds, so you get the information you need to make the right decisions to optimize your profits. Vantage Point is making its exclusive market forecast process available to you for free when you text money to 411-411. That's M-O-N-E-Y to 411-411. We'll send you a link to your free market forecast so you take back control of your financial future. Text money to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Guys, waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking 3 prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free.
Call 1-800-424-8908.
Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now.
Call 1-800-424-8908.
Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer.
1-800-424-8908. 1-800-424-8908.
Hey, Mike, how's the house coming along?
Needs a ton of work. The pipes are leaking. Needs a new roof. The AC just broke. I just don't have time to do it all myself. You know anyone?
Oh, just ask Home Advisor. They match you with the best local pros for any home project.
Cool.
Yeah, you can read reviews and book appointments online.
What's it cost?
Actually, Home Advisor is always free to use.
Nice. I'll check it out.
Go to homeadvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
Email phishing attacks cost businesses billions annually in real cash, data loss, and brand damage. Phishing emails are hard to detect because the messages appear to be legitimate to unsuspecting employees. Introducing Barracuda Fish Line, a groundbreaking cloud-based solution designed to help employees recognize sophisticated email phishing attacks through interactive training reinforced by continuous simulation. Transform your employees from a liability into a line of defense. Go to barracuda.com/PL to learn more.
I'll say goodbye to all my sorrow, and by tomorrow I'll be on my way. I guess the Lord must be in New York City.
Es verdad. And here we are, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show talking to Beckett Cook. The book is A Change of Affection. We're at a particularly interesting juncture in your story. Sir, please continue.
So I had this kind of supernatural encounter with God.
It wasn't kind of supernatural.
It was major supernatural.
It was definitively supernatural.
It was like Paul wrote to Damascus kind of stuff. I mean, it was that intense.
It was that intense.
It was that intense.
Now, were there people around you wondering if you're okay?
Yeah, that's funny because there were people actually got very concerned about me because I was retching. I mean, I was crying so hard that people thought they needed to call someone.
Did they use the paddles on you?
Yes. Yeah, they did. But
Jaws of Life?
Yeah, the Jaws of Life. Okay. But in that moment, I also knew so clearly. I mean, it was like everything just came. Like God was like, just downloaded all this stuff on me. And I knew in that moment that being a gay man was no longer who I was. And that wasn't going to be a part of my life anymore. I just knew instantly.
See, that's what people find so hard to believe, because your book is A Change of Affection, A Gay Man's Incredible Story of Redemption. The incredible part, because I think there are many people, when they hear someone talking about a spiritual experience, they say, well, that's great for you, but that can't happen to me. But it sounds to me like you were one of those people to whom it couldn't happen until it did.
Yeah. And I,
because there's no explanation how you can suddenly, you know,
I knew into the core of my being that was not my identity anymore. And I didn't care. I had just met the King of the Universe. I didn't care. And by the way, Jesus, you know, unlike all my ex-boyfriends, my many ex-boyfriends, he never cheats on me. He never lies to me. He'll never leave or forsake me. And he's the best relationship I've ever been in my life. And so I never feel like I'm being cheated out of something or life's unfair.
Well, see, but that's a big teaching point here. So forgive me, but because I experienced something similar, right? When I had this dramatic conversion experience around my 25th birthday, I immediately stopped sleeping with my girlfriend who became my fiance. We didn't get married, but I didn't care because this other thing was infinitely weightier and more persuasive somehow. So it's like that became a minor, very minor issue, which, again, not everybody gets that gift. But it's a gift, you know,
yeah.
When you're in a certain lifestyle or you're living a certain way, and then suddenly God comes in so powerfully that you very easily turn away from a lifestyle.
Yeah, and it's not that I'm not attracted to women. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. God created the universe. He can do anything. But I'm not attracted to women. I still have vestiges of kind of same-sex attraction. It doesn't dominate my thought life like it did before I was saved. But it doesn't, to me, it doesn't matter. If I'm single and celibate for the rest of my life, it doesn't matter. I have a relationship with Jesus. And by the way, I have eternal life, which is crazy, right?
Well, it's only crazy if you really get it. In other words, you get it. But I think there are a lot of people that don't get it, even if they would say I'm a Christian, but they don't understand how wonderful it is, or they haven't had the experience to feel like, oh, this is so beautiful. This is so, you know, and I think all of us are longing for more of that. And some people get special dispensations, so to speak.
Right.
Because it is a tremendous gift. And I think a lot of people say, well, I could never change. But, you know, you probably would have said that about yourself. I would have said that about myself. It's just kind of the reason I like to have people on this program to tell stories like yours is because I want people to know, yeah, people are experiencing things like this. It's way more normal than you think. And these stories are not getting told.
Right.
So it's important. I want to say to you, it's brave of you. It's courageous of you to tell this story because we're not living at a cultural moment where it's easy to tell a story like this. I think you know that.
Well, Ellen's not having me on her show.
What?
To tell this story.
Get out.
I know. Can you believe that?
Incredible.
But one thing that happened that was another that same day. When I drove home after the service, I don't know how I got home. I don't even remember how I got home because I was in such a state. I got home and I got into bed to take a nap because I was so overwhelmed by what had just happened. And God, it was like Moses in the cleft of the rock. God did it again. He just was like,
what?
And I was like, whoa. And I jumped out of my bed crying again. And I just, in the middle of my bedroom, I was like, God, you have my whole life. Like, this is it. And I was done. I was just like, this is it. It's my life. It's everything. Everything changed in a second. And then, of course, I had to tell all my friends from Brown and Princeton. They were not
that's
pleased.
That's the hard part.
They were very confused. And they still are.
I've been through this. We have weirdly similar stories. It's really wonderful to hear you tell this story because, again, there are a lot of people out there. They don't hear from folks like you. This is people need to know. You know, you're obviously authentic, and I just think it's important. Now, what did you decide to do with your life at that point? I mean, it's one thing to have this experience. Now, what do you do?
Well, I continued. I mean, first of all, I just like read the Bible voraciously. I couldn't stop reading the Bible and listening to I listened to like 20 sermons a day. I was obsessed.
That's fanaticism.
It's fanaticism.
Anything more than 18, fanaticism.
I listened to all of Tim Keller's oeuvre and like every, you know, all these other Dick Lucas and all these other guys, John Stott. I couldn't get enough of him. So, and then I continued in doing set design. But I knew God had some kind of calling on my life. And then a few years later, God called me to seminary in a very strong way. It was weird. I was just, I knew that it felt like I was on a train to seminary and I couldn't get off. It was like, I felt like Jonah. I felt like I was going to, you know, get thrown into the water if I didn't go. And so I was like, well, how am I going to pay for seminary? I'm going to have to turn down all these production design jobs from my agent if I go to seminary because I'm going to be a full-time student and it's going to be weird and it's not going to work out. And God was just kind of like, I'm going to pay for seminary. I'm like, how does that happen?
God communicated this to you?
He communicated it to me through one of the elders in my church, Nick Tortorici. This guy, Nick, prayed for me. I said, Nick, I think I'm supposed to go to seminary, but it doesn't make any sense. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And he prayed for me. And then afterwards he said, I think God's going to pay for seminary. And that's your confirmation.
We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back with Beckett
Cook. If you want to have less bathroom problems, listen to this. A new Nobel Prize discovery was just proven in a clinical trial to help men urinate 241% more, ending multiple trips to the bathroom and the constant urge to go. This breakthrough is finally available in a pill called Prostavive LS, developed by famed men's health expert Dr. Al Sears. And for a limited time, you can get a free bottle. Call 800-338
3683. Patients who've taken Prostavive LS are singing its praises.
Hi, my name is Paul, and I'm 73 years old. I used to get up multiple times a night to go to the bathroom, but after taking Prostavive LS, I now sleep through the night.
Prostavive LS does not require a prescription, and there are no side effects. But this free bottle is not available in stores. Call 800-338-3683 now to get your free bottle of this Nobel Prize-winning discovery proven in clinical trials to help men urinate 241% more. That's 800-338-3683. Just pay shipping and handling.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The Senate has confirmed Judge William Nardini to the 2nd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, something Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says marks a major milestone.
Every American should be proud of this.
Proud, McConnell says, that as of this week, 45 or
one in every four
judges on the Federal Courts of Appeal are Trump nominees. Conservatives who McConnell describes as well-qualified individuals.
Who believe in the quaint notion that the job of a judge is to apply our nation's laws and constitutions as they were actually written.
Democrats accuse the president of selecting originalist judges who are out of touch with the mainstream. Bob Agnew reporting.
And on Wall Street, there could be more record closings today. Right now, the Dow is up 172 points. The NASDAQ ahead 17. The S&P is 6 points higher. This is SRN News.
Bastian Gorka here. Maybe you've been hearing about Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that helps a person's body deal with inflammation and pain. You've heard all the wonderful testimonials. Well, I have my own testimonial. For many years, my lower back pain was becoming a serious problem. The short story is, I finally gave it a try, and now I'm out of pain too. So if you're in pain, you can order the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com.
If you haven't switched to Pure Talk USA, you're probably paying too much for your cell service. Pure Talk covers 99% of the country, and plans start at just $20 per line with no contract and a one-month risk-free guarantee. You've got nothing to lose. You can even keep your phone and your number. Get 50% off your first month when you call now. Just go to puretalkusa.com and enter promo code HALFOFF. That's puretalkusa.com, promo code HALFOFF.
Hey there, folks. We are talking to Beckett Cook. The book is A Change of Affection, A Gay Man's Incredible Story of Redemption. Beckett, we're talking about your desire. Suddenly you have this burning desire to go to seminary.
Mm-hmm.
So you did. You went to Fuller and you said
that.
You went to Talbot.
Yeah.
At Biola, right. And you said that this guy said, like, God's going to pay for it. So what happened?
So I didn't know what to make of that when he said, God's going to pay for it, and that's going to be confirmation. You're supposed to be there. And let me just tell a quick story. The same elder at my church, previously, I was at a service, and I knew he was in the service. And during the kind of worship time after the sermon, I was up near the front of the church praying.
Mm.
And I said, and I had never done this before, I said, God, will you send Nick Tortorici over here to pray for me right now? I just want him to pray for me. 5 minutes later, I feel a hand on my shoulder. I look up and it's Nick Tortorici. And he said, God just told me to come pray for you. I'm like, what?
Listen, there are a lot of people in Christian churches who don't believe in this stuff, much less atheists or agnostics. Or, you know, this stuff is pretty real.
It's crazy.
Pretty amazing.
It was just encouraging to my faith. And my church is formed. But anyway, so Nick said that to me about seminary. And then God just kind of opened these doors to different people who, like Francis Chan, who wrote the foreword of my book. He was so generous. I met him soon after that when Nick told me that, I met Francis in San Francisco, and he was just like, whatever you need, just call me anytime. And then others, many other people just kind of came. Once I let people know I was going to seminary, they're like, here's a blank check. You know, it was just crazy. So God paid for seminary for 4 years, and that was an amazing experience. And then I wrote while I was in seminary, I wrote the book, and here we are.
Now, but the book is just out.
It just came out 2 days ago.
Book.
2 days ago.
It's a brand new book. And now, is it hard for you to quote unquote go public with this? I often think when people talk about it, you know, it's brave to come out as gay. I think in this day and age, in 2019, it's takes more bravery to come out as ex-gay than to come out as gay, or to come out as Christian in a world that oftentimes views Christians as hateful, which is ridiculous. It's just like, you know, the devil talking. I refuse to say like, oh, the church has done a lot of bad things. Everybody's done a lot of bad things. And so that I won't buy that. But it's not an easy thing to do that. What is it that led you to do this now? And let's say not, you know, why not 5 years ago? Why not never?
Well, I felt I kind of tried to write it before seminary, and it was interesting because God, when I wrote a first draft before I went to seminary, and God kind of shut all the doors there. I mean, no one was responding to it. And then literally the second I graduated seminary, I got a book agent, I got a book deal at Thomas Nelson.
Not literally, but I know what you mean. We're going to go to another break. I want to keep you hanging around for another few minutes at least. But thank you. This has been terrific. But we're not going to let you leave. We're going to keep talking.
Okay.
Thanks for listening, folks.